Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
My high school, Shawnee Mission North, has dumped Indians as its mascot. They're letting the students decide what to do next, and the kids have narrowed it down to three. I'm going to make a strong case that all three are just as offensive as Indians and demonstrate just how ridiculous all of this is. Mayor Q wants to change gun laws in Kansas City, Missouri, because apparently his citizens can't drive to Raytown or Merriam or Riverside. More brilliance from the Ivy League scholar who invokes dead babies to try to get his way. It is so pathetic. Joe and Jill Biden get worked over by fifth graders on a school visit. The power couple started asking about schooling from home, and of course, fifth graders don't have filters. You got to hear what these kids told them. Yet another presidential staff gaffe. Bill and Melinda Gates are getting divorced after 27 years. They're going to have to find a way to split $146 billion. This couple started going public and hard left about 2 years ago. I wonder if that had anything to do with their issues. Daniel Lynch was pretty good for the Royals in his first major league start, but the pitching staff is showing some cracks. Four games into this big stretch of division games, and the Royals aren't fooling anyone. This is a concern. In the NBA, LeBron James is calling for some decision makers in that league to be fired because he doesn't like the playoff position the Lakers are in. When are they going to start fining this guy? And we introduce you to a 44-year-old man in New York nicknamed the Sperminator. Now that's an offensive nickname. You got to hear this story. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. The customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. Ask for Mike or Tim on the showroom floor. They're unbelievable how courteous they are, how professional they are, and how well they're going to treat you with great respect, the good old-fashioned conservative way. That's indeed the truth. You can also shop online, robertsrobinson.com. Many people are choosing to get cars this way, not because of the pandemic anymore. It's just become an easier way. It's the way I'm doing it. I have no aversion to go into the dealership. In fact, I'm going to go there to pick up my car when it comes in. It's so easy to build your own. Any product from Chevy, GMC, Buick, do it. Silverado, Sierra, absolutely. Buick Envision, Chevy Blazer, in. Let's go. Get online at robertsrobinson.com, get on the phone with them, and build it just like you like it. With Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, and Chevrolet, find new roads. Back 9 Development, the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere in Manhattan. Condominiums on the Colbert Hills Golf Course, great for a second home, investment property, college kids, you name it. These are upscale condominiums. Important things like taller ceilings and 8-foot-wide hallways in the main space. Really, really beautiful development that he's building right there on the golf course at Colbert Hills. Wonderful place to go if you're headed to football weekends instead of trying to get hotel rooms, and a tremendous investment opportunity for you right now. TJ's taking commitments. You can call him personally at 785-236-0161. At 785-236-0161, he will tour the property with you personally. If you'd like to set that up, he'll make time any day and check it all out. Or go online at back9development.com. That's the numeral 9, back9development.com. And as always, a tip of the cap, and thanks to Window World, our title sponsor here at KKHI. Window World is simply the best for less. They have 0% financing available right now on American-made windows and doors. These are the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you can save big at Window World, a great local company based in Missouri. We love all the great work that John Gillette and his staff do all over the Kansas City area and the states of Missouri and Kansas. You can live within a couple hours of Kansas City, and Window World will come to you. A lot of folks didn't know that. You don't have to be in the metro. Call Window World at 816-799-0820. That's 799-0820. Make the call and see if they're for you. They'll come right to your home. They'll give you an estimate, and then no pressure. It's totally up to you. Online at WindowsKansasCity.com. It is Window World, simply the best for less. All right, the Indians are gone from Shawnee Mission North. They've come up, the students have, with three other ideas that I think might be just as offensive as Indians. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
So it looks like my high school is caving in, and I've kind of lost the will to really care about this. As a proud graduate, 1982, of Shawnee Mission North High School, we've always been the home of the Indians, and that is about to end. I guess there are some issues around this that bother me more than the actual name change. I can't muster up a whole lot of, you know, disgust for the process that this is happening. It just seems to be a reality in so many places. And if it's something that I don't understand, and indigenous people in this country are upset that there are teams named Indians or Chiefs or whatever may be the case, and we're going to switch them all, I don't see any way of stopping this. I mean, this is just the culture that we live in now. It's not something that can be necessarily regulated by the government. These are, in many cases, not private businesses when we're talking about schools. And a very small number of people can change the will of a very large number of people with great ease. And that seems to be taking place at my high school, where in their infinite wisdom in our educational system, the Shawnee Mission School District has decided they're going to allow the students to decide this. Okay, the name is going to be gone, and the students are going to decide exactly what to do with the mascot. And I'm at a loss for words here on what's going on, because I'm going to play a very simple and fun little game here to start, because Indians doesn't seem that offensive to me, but if it's offensive to some and it has to go, then it has to go. All right, fine. But I think it's so easy to pick apart almost anything, and I know it sounds absurd when I say it, but I've mentioned this about the Kansas City Royals. Ultimately, this country was founded on one very basic principle, and that was people were leaving royalty, monarchies, and coming to this country and setting up a new form of government that did not involve a king and a queen and a royal family. We can make a pretty solid argument that the term royals is offensive to many people who love the United States of America, which was basically founded on the principle of evading and moving away from the royal family and getting away from the monarchy. I can make that argument. And if I say I'm offended, does that count or does it not count? I don't really know who counts and who doesn't count anymore with what they're offended by. But the students, in their wisdom, have come up with a couple of really fun ideas here. There's actually three things that they could be doing at Shawnee Mission North. They could become the Bison or the Buffaloes, which is sort of the same thing, and it sounds pretty cool. I think the Bison would be cool. Except maybe these students haven't been taught that colonists came over here and wiped out all the Bison and the Buffalo, which killed off a bunch of indigenous people. Do we not remember that Sharice David's heroes killed the colonists? Okay? The colonists were wiping out the Bison and the Buffalo across the plain, across the fruited plain. The colonists came and they had guns and they shot all the Bison and the Buffalo and they ripped through the herds and they took away a critical supply for the indigenous people. How could we possibly name at Shawnee Mission North the school Bison or Buffaloes when we know exactly what happened with the colonists who just wiped through these herds and literally killed indigenous people? They starved off. They died off because of what the white people came and did to the Bison and the Buffaloes. How could we even possibly do that and not have them be reminded of the terrible thing that the colonists did? I'm not sure that I understand this. The third option is to not really have a name. They're going to go with N on their hat. Do I need to go where that could be offensive to people? There's only one letter in the English language. Well, no, there's a couple. There's a couple letters in the English language where you put a letter and you put word behind it and you know what it means and it's offensive. I don't, N? N? We can't talk, we can't have an N on the hat at Shawnee Mission North. That doesn't seem right. We maybe have to get rid of that. That could be terribly offensive to people. And they want to go with the moniker because Shawnee Mission North has always been known as the Brick House because it's built out of bricks. I can't think of anything more offensive than if you don't have a mascot, putting an N on your hat and referring to your school as the Brick House, which is a Commodores song from the 70s, which refers to a woman who knows she's built and knows how to please. 36, 24, 36, she's a brick house. Could be conceived as perceived as terribly racist. It's a black group song. It's definitely sexist in this day and age. It doesn't stand the test of time. Now, a lot of rap music is sexist and offensive. Doesn't seem to bother people. But if we're going to be honest about the things that we write and the things we say, there isn't much more demeaning out there to women than the song Brick House. She's going to have a great life because she's built like a brick house. 36, 24, 36, she knows how to please. This is offensive. This is offensive, and it could be perceived as racist, certainly, because it's a Commodore song, and it doesn't stand the test of time. And now you're going to put an N on your hat and refer to yourselves as a brick house? You can play this game all day. This is so ridiculous what we're doing in this society. If you want to find something, and I didn't work very hard today to find these things with Shawnee Mission North. I heard bison and buffaloes. I thought bison sounds pretty cool. Shawnee Mission North bison, I can live with that. But what about the indigenous people? What about indigenous people? I mean, their bison and their buffaloes were wiped out by the colonists and the cowboys and the dreaded white people that came in and did all this. Wouldn't that be just an awful reminder of how hard times really fell upon indigenous people? When the bison and the buffalo were wiped out, it was the beginning of the end for indigenous people. I mean, it was just a complete, it was their life source, basically, on this land. They were not yet advanced or great at agriculture. They didn't have guns. They killed off just enough buffaloes and bison to live off of it. They made warm coats. They ate the meat. They repurposed and used so many different things from bison and buffaloes. It was everything that they had, truly. And the colonists came in and just wiped them out, just obliterated them. And the whole thing with the N on the hat and the brick house just doesn't sound right to me. I don't know how it sounds to you. Doesn't sound right to me. In fact, I think all of these sound maybe a little bit more offensive than Indians. I don't know. But this is where we are, and I'm telling you, no matter what happens in our society with any of these names, any of these monikers, any of these things, we can pick it apart. We can find a way to look at it and say, boy, that's offensive. It doesn't sound right. And so there we are at my high school, Shawnee Mission North. Speaking of offensive, Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas has topped the charts again of being offensive. He wants gun control in Kansas City, some sort of gun control. I can't keep track of what kind of gun control he wants, but what he's essentially saying is we don't respect the state of Missouri and the will of the people in the state of Missouri. We want Kansas City, Missouri, in its own little bubble, to be able to enact our own gun laws outside of the state of Missouri. Gun laws are a state issue. Just had a big thing in Kansas this week. The legislature in Kansas overturned Governor Kelly, who had vetoed a bill that would not allow 18-year-olds that would allow 18-year-olds to have a conceal and carry permit and a weapon. And I've often argued, if we want to make the case that 18 is too young for stuff, then let's make it too young for a lot of things. I don't think our laws are very consistent. You can't drink at 18, but you can go to war at 18. You can carry a gun at 18. You can vote at 18, but you can't buy alcohol. I've never understood a lot of these things that we have in our society. And so the argument here is that 18-year-olds are too young to have guns. I will listen to that argument all day long. I was 18 once, and I wasn't very smart, and I wasn't very responsible. I'll listen to that argument all day long, but as the Constitution is written, if you're 18 and we can hand you a gun and you can go fight a war, I find it really difficult to believe that we can't have a law that 18-year-olds can have a gun. So the governor got struck down in Kansas, and I think for good reason. Quentin Lucas, on the other hand, in Kansas City, Missouri, is saying, we don't care about state law. We want our own laws in Kansas City, Missouri. We want our own autonomy here as a city, and we want to have a lot of gun laws because we think it will make a difference. And so Quentin Lucas has just completely jumped the shark. Here is his quote. We must, quote, save the babies who are dying in our streets, unquote. Well, that's political hyperbole. There's no question about that, but that's Quentin Lucas at its best. He's got on his hands, as mayor of Kansas City, the most violent tenure in the history of any mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. This is a city that was built with mafia, gunplay, machine guns, all kinds of violence. The city was built on violence and crime, and he's topped it all. And he wants to blame it on the Missouri state gun laws. And he wants his own gun laws, and he thinks that will fix it. Because if I live at, I don't know, somewhere near, let's say, 31st and Prospect. I live at 31st and Prospect. It's really hard for me to drive 3 miles and be an Independence and get a gun. If Kansas City, Missouri changes the laws, I can't get down the road 3 miles to Independence to get myself a gun. I can't get to Raytown. I can't cross the river you know, and get over to Riverside. I can't get to Riverside and buy a gun. I mean, what on earth? How dumb does he think we are? Look, this isn't my biggest fight, all right? I just don't see, I don't see any common sense in the things that a lot of Democrats want to do when they want to enact gun laws. Like, they think if we have laws, to me, it's the criminals that are committing the crimes with these guns. They're going to get the guns. Whether there's a gun law or not, we're finding this right and left. People find a way to get through. They're going to get the gun. If you're a bad guy, you're going to get one. I just don't understand the logic in this. Boy, if we just had stricter gun laws in Kansas City, Missouri, well, nobody's going to go over there to, you know, Shawnee to the gun store and buy their gun 4 miles away. Nobody's going to go to Raytown or Independence and get a gun. No, no. Everybody in Kansas City, Missouri, see, Quentin Lucas is smart. He knows that everybody's just right here in a box in Kansas City, Missouri, and nobody gets out, and this is where you live, and we had 8 gazillion murders last year, and that's the way it goes, and we're tracking even more this year, but it's because the state of Missouri has bad gun laws. Forget the fact that your city borders Kansas, where you can go get guns. Yeah, was it a crime to go to Kansas and then cross state lines? Probably. Do the criminals care? No, they don't care. They don't care. If they want a certain gun, they're going to go get it. They're going to find it. And he uses babies. Save the babies who are dying on our streets. I'm not going to blame him. Really, I'm not. But I can tell you this. I can make a stronger argument for shoring up the death rate, the homicide rate in Kansas City, Missouri, by opening the economy in Kansas City, Missouri, than I can by putting in gun laws or changing the gun laws. I can't prove this. I can't prove any of this, but it's my opinion, my very strong opinion, that if Mayor Lucas had not locked down Kansas City, Missouri in a greater fashion than any part of the metropolitan area was locked down, that it would have saved lives. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's one less person would have died or 50 fewer people would have died. But the pandemic was harder in Kansas City, Missouri than other places. Generally speaking, there were poorer neighborhoods of people locked in who lost their jobs, who had their lives turned upside down and lived in neighborhoods where everything was closed, locked down and shut down. This is not the way human beings live. We know this. We know it's not good for human beings. We've seen it in the suicide rate. We've seen it in drug usage going up, alcoholism, domestic violence. This has been a horrendous decision in the United States. I can't speak to the rest of the world, but I know this. I felt like we were making a mistake. The 2 weeks to slow the spread sounded like a good idea to me. Maybe even extend it out and say, we're shut down for a month. But what we've done for 15 months, 14 months because of this pandemic, was bad for the United States. It was bad for people everywhere. We very quickly knew that COVID-19 affected older people and sick people more than anyone else. We knew this. And yet we shut everything down and stayed with it. It was a mistake. We blew it. We blew it over pressure from the left. We blew it. We blew it from a CDC that's been wrong at every turn. We blew it because we listened to Dr. Fauci, who's had 27 different theories on what to do. We blew it because we trusted these people and didn't recognize initially, and this is on Trump. He probably knew it and still didn't do anything about it. To not know that people who are entrenched in the federal government are rooted in politics is a giant mistake. It's the one great lesson of COVID-19. What we've learned is anybody that's made their living off the CDC or the National Institute for Health or any of these agencies at the federal level, and they've been working there for 20, 30, 40 years, they are political creatures. They are not there as doctors. They're not. They're there as some sort of a scientist or doctor to push their agenda, whatever that may be, or they wouldn't have stayed in government. They would have been out in the private world, in private practice. If you stay in the government your entire life, you are political by definition. You are. You have no chance of not being political. And these are the people we listen to? Bad form. We made a lot of mistakes. We made a lot of mistakes, and maybe Quentin Lucas is right. Maybe changing some gun laws in Kansas City, Missouri would prevent deaths. I'm all for that. But I don't see that logic. I see people leaving Kansas City, Missouri, and going to Raytown and buying a gun, or Shawnee, or Riverside, or somewhere else, and getting the gun that they want and bringing it back to Kansas City, Missouri, and committing the same crimes. I don't know how any reasonable person could hear, we're going to have certain laws in the state of Missouri, but Kansas City, Missouri itself, we're going to have different laws, and that's going to work. I don't know who could possibly think that. It's just what he has done in Kansas City, Missouri, in my opinion, and I'm not one of these, I'm not a bomb thrower here, okay? I'm not sitting here saying, you know, Quentin Lucas killed these people, or, you know, everybody talks about Cuomo in New York. Hey, listen, I don't know. That man may have had the best of intentions with what he was trying to do, thinking, let's get the COVID patients, let's put them in the nursing homes, let's isolate them from the rest of the public, that maybe that's the right idea. Did people die in nursing homes because of that? Absolutely. Does that make him a mass murderer? No. I don't know. I think I give the benefit of the doubt a lot of times that people think they're doing the right things. This was unprecedented. We didn't know what we were doing. And I'd give Quentin Lucas a redo on this, but he won't open anything. He still has the worst laws anywhere in the Kansas City metro area with this stuff. And it's not good for his citizens. And he now knows a year later that it's not good for his citizens. He has watched the murder rate go up. He's watched drug usage go up. He's watched suicide go up. And he's out there saying, we got to save the babies who are dying on our streets. We need our own gun laws that are not Missouri's gun laws. That's his answer? A little off center, if you ask me. A lot off center. All right, we'll lighten it up here on the political side. Some of it is, again, it is amazing how inept liberals are with so much of what they do. So let's start with Joe Biden and Dr. Biden visiting school kids, fifth graders. They visited fifth graders on Monday and asked the kids what they thought of school at home via Zoom. One kid said, well, it was great because I could take a nap when the teacher was busy with other students. Another one said, well, it was kind of fun trying to sneak in eating and not get caught while I was doing it. And another one said it was great because when I didn't know the answers, I would just fake a technical problem with my computer and act like my microphone didn't work or I couldn't hear. So the student was saying, I didn't know the answer to a question. I was like, I tapped the microphone. It's not working. I can't hear you. And the teacher would move on to the next student. The results are now in. This is from the first quarter of the school year last year. Students with two or more Fs. This is after locking down and staying home with kids who don't get sick from COVID. Students with two or more Fs increased by 83%. I mean, wow. It couldn't have been worse and blown up worse for Joe Biden when he went and visited the school. You don't ask kids questions unless you know the answer. You just can't. Kids will tell you the truth. And what they told the Bidens was, well, we were at home. We could take naps. We could eat. We could fake that we had technical problems to get out of not knowing the answer. There was all kinds of tricks we learned very quickly. Kids are smarter than we think. And kids apparently are smarter than the CIA, which has put out a recruitment video. This is Biden's CIA now. With a woman who works at the CIA. It's a recruitment video. They do this. We are the CIA. We are the person of the CIA. They put them online and they say, hey, come to work for the CIA. This thing is so woke. Russia and China are just laughing in the aisles at this now. I promise you. The United States is a laughingstock because of stuff like this. The woman, who I'm sure works hard and could possibly be a fine CIA agent, says on this 2-minute video about who she is and I am the CIA, she says she is a woman of color. She is a cisgender millennial. And I had to look that up. I know what a millennial is, but I honestly didn't know what cisgender was. I'm not woke enough to know this stuff. Do you know what cisgender is? Cisgender is me and you. They actually have a name now and a category for someone who has a birth sex and identifies with their birth sex. So I was born a male and I identify as a male. So I'm cisgender. So this is a woman of the CIA who puts herself in a category on a recruitment video that she is a cisgender millennial, which means she was born a female and identifies as a female, because apparently if you call yourself that, people who were born as something else and identify as something else see you as a cooler person that identifies with their birth sex. She goes on to say she has an anxiety disorder. She is intersectional. I didn't look that one up. Intersectional. She's intersectional. I didn't look that up because I don't care. I don't care. And she has imposter syndrome. I mean, really? I am the CIA. I have a national security position. I'm a woman of color. I'm a cisgender millennial. I have anxiety disorder. I've been diagnosed with anxiety disorder. I'm intersectional and I have imposter syndrome. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what's going on with our federal government. It's just a crap show. That's all this is. It's just unbelievable what's going on with some of these things. Back at the county level in Jackson County, Missouri, they just approved $1.7 million for air conditioning at the courthouse. Again, I'm no expert on these things. I'm not an HVAC guy. I know the building's 90 years old. I think they approved some emergency funding of hundreds of thousands of dollars to get it working again. And now they've approved $1.7 million, apparently, for an entirely new system of AC in the courthouse. I called my buddy Brad over at Elite Automation. I said, listen, help these people out. Let's call Frank White over there at Jackson County and help them out. They can do this cheaper than that. If you just get them a couple of air conditioners that work, Elite Automation can install the control systems that will save them a pile of money. And I promise you, they'll do it for a lot less than $1.7 million. I got some people that can do this. Elite Automation will just line right up and do it. Now, it's the government, so everything gets doubled and tripled. They'll have to try to find the proper contractors, whether that's a Jackson County business or a minority business, wherever it may be, they'll have to find them, right? Then they'll have to find the subs that check the box who may charge 10, 20, 30% more and do that and just keep going up the scale to make sure that we're doing this the proper way to where we can spend the full $1.7 million instead of just trying to bid it out to people and find somebody to come in here and do it for what, maybe $500,000? You could probably put a good HVAC system in a courthouse for $500,000. Seems like a reasonable budget to me. Hey, just one call to Elite Automation, you could probably fix that thing over at the Jackson County Courthouse. That would be my guess, but that doesn't sound like what they're going to do. We mentioned Tucker Carlson on Monday's podcast that he is all up in Frank Luntz's kitchen, and I don't know if it's personal between Tucker Carlson and Frank Luntz. The pollster, the focus group guru, the consultant to politicians all over the country, who used to work at Fox News or was on there a great deal. I don't think he's on very much anymore. I think it was found out that Luntz is basically a liberal, and Tucker Carlson has called him out for that. And the whole premise of Carlson's argument here is the reason the Republicans in D.C. don't act like the voters that put them there is because of Frank Luntz. That Frank Luntz has all this power over all these people who says, you know, move to the center, be a centrist, don't represent your voter base, don't be like Trump, move left of Trump, don't be a populist, don't do that. So Tucker doubles down on this thing. He was talking about the friendship between Frank Luntz and Kevin McCarthy, who's the minority leader of the House of Representatives from California, a Republican. Well, McCarthy rents a townhome from Frank Luntz, an apartment from Frank Luntz in Washington, D.C. Luntz is very wealthy. He has made a lot of money working for politicians with focus groups and things of that nature. He's being called out. Frank Luntz may go into hiding on this thing now. And so's Kevin McCarthy. And I respect the heck out of Tucker Carlson, who's a true conservative, who is all up in McCarthy's kitchen now. I think what Tucker Carlson is doing is saying the Republicans have a year and a half before they have control of Congress. And when they get control of the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy should not be the leader. He should not be the Speaker of the House. I think that's where Tucker's going with this, is that conservatives in America need to wake up, and you may like Kevin McCarthy, but you will not like him as Speaker of the House. He will not do what you want him to do, we need a cleanup hitter here. We don't need a number two hole Punch and Judy hitter that's going to, you don't need Nicky Lopez up there slapping the ball around. Okay? Go get me Salvador Perez and swing for the fences. I think that's what Tucker's saying about Kevin McCarthy, which I didn't really know about him, but it's becoming pretty evident now. So it's been really interesting. Normally people at high positions like that don't attack others, it's not personal. It's not, but he's outing them. He's outing these people as they are not who you think they are. And I think if Tucker Carlson goes on a mission to say, look, this Republican right here is moved too far left, I'm all in on that. I'll watch that every night. If he wants to start outing those people and giving me reasons why those people are too far left, let's get them outed. And let's go find some Trump candidates to run against them. And let's run them right out of office. Let's do it. Maybe that's what that's about. Maybe Tucker has a candidate in McCarthy's district. I don't know. But he's making McCarthy look bad and Frank Luntz look bad. And it's been fascinating to watch. Bill and Melinda Gates are getting divorced. After 27 years of marriage, Bill and Melinda Gates are getting divorced. Now, I am the last guy on earth that's going to bash anybody for getting divorced. All right? So, I get it. I have unbelievable respect for my parents, for the number of years that they were married. My mom's complete and utter dedication to my dad for the last 22 years after his passing. She wouldn't even consider dating anyone else or going out with anyone else. It is amazing what they had, and I don't know the inside of any of it. I'm sure they had struggles. My dad was hard-headed. I'm sure they had issues and things through the years, but their love is undeniable, and they made it a lifetime, and my mom made a very conscious decision that, Kevin, your dad was it, and that's that. And while I don't know that would have been my choice, I respect the living daylights out of my mom for that and love her and adore her for that. Bill and Melinda Gates are calling it quits after 27 years. There's a $146 billion estate to settle here. Generally speaking, these things get cut in half. How about this? Microsoft is only 20% of that money. It's about $30 million, $30 billion, I'm sorry. Microsoft is holdings only about 20%. Bill Gates has gone on to be the biggest shareholder in the Canadian National Railway, John Deere, a bunch of different things going on. The largest single asset they have is what? Oh, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is the largest asset. And they probably have different ideas of what they would like to do with this money. These are charitable people. This is not the day for me to sit here and pile on these people for the things that I don't like about them. Because they're doing so much good in the world. And they have given so much back. And it's a shame they're getting divorced. I wish them both well. I would like to ask this question, though. There are two things about the Gateses that... Well, the first one nobody talks about. And I'm always amazed that how liberals get protection in this regard. Bill Gates was Melinda Gates' boss. She worked at Microsoft as a manager. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm just surprised there's never been any scrutiny about this. There's never been any thought of, how did this exactly work out that they got together when he was the co-founder and she's working there and they wind up married and, you know, whatever. Nobody seems to ask those questions of liberals. Nobody seems to look at things like that, but I'll bet you didn't know that Bill Gates was Melinda Gates' boss. I'll bet you didn't know that. I bet you didn't know. Hey, listen, I think there's a high probability that this relationship was completely on the up and up and that he never leveraged anything to sleep with her at work or offended her in the workplace or anything like that or pursued her in an unseemly way as the powerful boss of a giant corporation. It is likely the case that he did absolutely nothing wrong. But I've never heard that until I read about the divorce. It's a footnote in the story. And then you go, oh, really? Huh. And 27 years later, they're getting divorced. $146 billion. I'll ask this question about them. They've become political in the last few years. Bill Gates has been wrong about a lot of pandemic stuff. A lot of pandemic stuff. And she's gone out there and been very public. They've tried to maybe expand their brand. They're friends with the Obamas. They're power brokers around the world. They are charitable. They have the best of intentions in their hearts, but really smart people can found companies and become billionaires and still be wrong a lot because they're human beings. And man, have these people been wrong a lot in the last year. And as they've done that and they've become more outwardly leftists, socialists, as we've seen that, I wonder if it just ratcheted up the pressure on their marriage. If going public was a bad thing for them. They used to be much quieter and much less in the public eye. And I wonder how difficult that is. I have an amazing wife who has a tremendous ability of ignoring a lot of stuff that I do and completely ignoring people who have commentary about stuff that I do. She has an unbelievable ability to just tune people out. Remarkable ability to tune people out, including me, a lot of times, which is helpful. It grounds me, it's humbling, and it's she has a tremendous instinct for it. It's the right thing to do. There's a lot of times that I should just be tuned out, right? And when she does, I'm like, she's probably right. She's tuning me out on this. She's probably right. But maybe the Gates couldn't do that. Maybe over the last year, year and a half, 2 years, as they become more and more public and political, they have just heard a lot of venom from the right and a lot of people that are like, man, I used to respect you and like you. And now the work you're doing doesn't mean anything to me because, you know, you're meddling too much in my life now and all these other things. I wonder if that wasn't a big part of the pressure was them having more of a public life. But we'll wish the best to them. I'm sure they will be fine and figure out a way to split the $146 billion. That money is frozen for 90 days. Divorces, when they're filed in Seattle, King County, get a 90-day freeze. Nothing happens for 90 days. It's a cooling-off period. When the spouses file, it just sits for 90 days. They let them cool off. You want to cool off? How about you put some earbuds in? Relax and listen to some music? Or here's a great way to listen to the Kevin Kietzman Has Issues podcast. At bstock.net, they're having an earpiece bonanza. Right now, if you buy any TV made by Samsung, they're going to give you the Samsung Galaxy Buds free. That's any Samsung TV, even the cheapest one, and you get the Samsung Galaxy Buds free. If you buy any iPad or MacBook computer at bstock.net, they will give you AirPods free. Remember, when you buy the original product, it's the lowest price you're going to find it anywhere. Now you're getting earpieces for free. Whether it's the Samsung Galaxy Buds for buying the TV or the AirPods for buying the iPad or the MacBook, it's at bstock.net right now. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe, or check them out online at bstock.net. Fry Orthodontics now offering free retainers for life and Invisalign for the same price as braces. This can save you thousands. Invisalign's a great way to go for you or your teenager. Fewer appointments, less time missed from work or school, less painful, and better hygiene. Nobody does what Fry Orthodontics does. That's Invisalign for the same price as braces. Log on to fryorthodontics.com or call 469-9191 and mention KKHI. Your first appointment is free at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Got a bunch of emails in the last few days about this because I don't mention CBD-GC.com in every show. So Stacey Higgins is the lady there. She's got a great Mother's Day package available. You can get it in time for Mother's Day this week. It is $175 worth of value. $50 off, $125 for the bath bomb, the peptide cream, the Calm Infused Roll-On, which Stacey uses and loves, the Sleep Boost, the Quartz Facial Roller, and much more. $125 for Mother's Day. The website is cbd-gc.com. It's the Mother's Day package. Or call Stacey at 913-961-3881. That's 961-3881 for the Mother's Day package at cbd-gc.com. And, of course, Joslyn's Jewelry is the good old-fashioned traditional way to say I love you on Mother's Day. Maybe a nice little bracelet or a necklace or a pair of earrings. It's all right there. From small budgets to big budgets, it's Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Well, I thought Daniel Lynch pitched well for the Royals on Monday night. You can see the stuff that he has, the electric stuff that the Royals like. He gave up 3 runs in 4 2/3, but when he left the game, he'd only given up 1. Barlow came in and kind of let him down. Barlow didn't have anything last night. Then the Royals' plan of putting Lynch in the rotation and Junis to the bullpen backfired. Junis got beat up in this game. The Royals were in the game. They had a 3-1 lead. Then it was tied at 3. Plenty of chances to win this game. The Royals wind up scoring 6 runs and don't win. The Royals pitching the last few days has just been ugh. Except for Duffy on Saturday, not good. Friday night, not good. Sunday night, good. Monday night, not good. Daniel Lynch was a bright spot. The bullpen was a bummer. I'm not sitting here ready to conclude that Junis can't pitch in the bullpen, but the Royals took a guy out of the rotation who'd been very effective as a starting pitcher and put him into the bullpen, and he was not effective against the Indians on Monday night. Look, it's too easy to just say, we don't know the inner workings, and I learned this a long time ago. From the outside, it's too easy to say, look, Keller's not getting it done. Move him to the bullpen. Junis should be in the rotation. Lynch is fine where he is. That's easy to say, but you don't know what it does to the rest of the team when you've identified Brad Keller as your ace and you've kind of treated him as such and promoted him as such the last year and throughout spring training and into the season, and then you suddenly say, we're not standing by this guy. He's going to the bullpen. That really can upset the apple cart on a baseball team. So I understand why they have to stay with him, but it can't be that much longer. You can't just go out and keep losing every Brad Keller start. That's not going to work for the Royals. If they keep this up, their lead, their 7 games over 500, is just going to disappear. And the Royals are going to be 500 before you know it, and May's going to be a disastrous month. They better get the pitching together. The early sign of playing in the division is bad, and here's why. They've played 4 games now in this division stretch. They're 1-3. That's not good. It's not good. It's not the end of the world. The end of the world is the teams in the division seem to know how to hit the Royals pitchers. There's so much familiarity with the personnel within the division. The Royals were pitching great when they weren't facing the division, and now they're in the division, and it looks awful. It looks like Minnesota and Cleveland know everything every Royals pitcher is going to throw to them. That's a problem. So the Royals need to look. They need to do a little self-scouting here and say, okay, we got to mix something up. Do we have some tendencies? What is it that we're doing wrong? Each pitcher, and Cal Eldred and Matheny and Sal Perez, they need to be thinking about, how do we mix up, for lack of a better term, the combination or the cadence of pitches, the sequence of the pitches? How do we mix this up to where we aren't so predictable? Because generally speaking, when you're getting pounded, the other team is comfortable at the plate. And the way you're comfortable at the plate is you feel good about the pitcher you're facing, right? You're on balance and you're comfortable. You're finding a zone. And a lot of times you just know what's coming. You know, via the count, you face this guy enough. He's going fastball here, right? The first pitch of the game last night was a rocket shot to center field that Dyson caught. Pretty smart by the Indians. I think they had a pretty good idea that Daniel Lynch's first pitch as a major league pitcher was going to be a fastball down the middle. Okay, boom, jump on it. That's pretty good. So the Royals better look and do a little self-scouting and try to figure that out right now, because I don't really see it in these first 4 games in the division. So we'll keep an eye on that. Pitching has to be better. This pitching falls apart like it's been the last 4 games. The Royals are in real, real trouble. I went to CBS Sports on Tuesday morning. I go there in the morning every morning just to see what's going on. I like the website. Their lead story, you can't make this up, the lead story was a mock draft for the NFL in 2022. Yeah. 3 days after this year's draft, the mock draft is up for next year in the NFL. This is the one that drives Danny Klingsiel crazy. I like the draft as much as the next guy. What I don't like is 2 months of lead up to the draft. I certainly don't need 12 months of lead up to next year's draft. But if you are a draft Nick, head on over to CBS Sports, and they've got your mock draft for 2022 up right now at cbssports.com. LeBron James, after a tough loss on Monday night, speaks out again. Here's his quote talking about the playoff format in the NBA, the new playoff format. Quote, "Whoever came up with that shit needs to be fired," unquote. That's Bron. He's just going to keep stepping in it. He apparently doesn't care if anybody likes him. You know, there used to be this comparison of, do you like LeBron James? LeBron versus Jordan, all this stuff. Well, he cemented that. He's just cemented that with so many people that it's Jordan. So LeBron doesn't like that teams 1 through 6 in each conference are in, And then to find the next two opponents, 7 and 8 play a series. 9 and 10 have to play 2 series to advance. You have to win a couple series. So 7 through 10 have to play extra to advance to become part of the 8. LeBron doesn't like it because they're sitting there a half game out of the 7 spot. The Lakers are the 5 right now, so they'd be in. They'd be in 1 through 6. But they easily, while they're fighting with the Mavs and the Blazers, one of those teams is going to be left out. They're going to be the 7 seed. Lakers, Mavericks, Blazers are 5, 6, and 7, but they're all tied, basically. One of them is going to be the 7 and have to play more, so LeBron's already complaining about it. This is a guy who played in the Eastern Conference for how many years? When there were no good teams in the East, and LeBron made it to the finals how many years in a row? 8 years in a row? 8 years in a row, LeBron was in the NBA Finals in the Eastern Conference because the conference was easy. And now he's complaining about the playoff setup? He gamed the system all those years over there in the East. He did, but he's really mad, and I don't think anybody should be fired. There are other people that don't like the format too, but a lot of people just believe this should be permanent, that it creates real excitement for a lot of teams that can play their way in and get hot. We saw the Phoenix Suns last year in the bubble. Remember the Phoenix Suns in the bubble last year? Made that run, and they were the hottest team in the bubble, but they couldn't correct the early part of their season before COVID because they were so bad, but they were like the best team in the bubble and didn't make the playoffs. Well, that's what they're trying to figure out here is if somebody's playing great late because it's a long season and you weren't good early, let's get teams that are playing great late a chance to get in and play their way through the playoffs. That's what this is about. What'd the Phoenix Suns do? They got a chance to be the 1 seed in the West. They're so good this year. That was no fluke in the bubble, but they didn't get in. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say it's not uncommon for a team in the NBA to have a really bad start and play well late. And if you can find your way to the 8 or the 9 seed and you're playing really good basketball, you might win a couple series and we want you in the playoffs. We want the best playing teams in. I respect that. We'll see how it plays out. I haven't decided whether I love it or not, but I do like what they're trying to accomplish. I think it's important you try those things in sports. Tennessee Titans get the oops pick of the NFL draft. Their fourth rounder, Rashad Weaver. Rashad Weaver has been charged with assault. That was on Friday. Did they not know? Did they not know this guy's in trouble? He was arrested after just a couple weeks ago. He was at a bar where some people saw him fighting with a woman. Later, the woman was found on the ground. One witness says she was punched in the head by a really large man. She was treated and released. Later, she went back because a few days later, she was vomiting. And then they determined maybe she had a concussion. Who knows? This is all allegedly. He allegedly assaulted her. We have to be very careful with that because I don't know. And it's really hard for the cops and prosecutors to figure out what happens at 2:28 a.m. after everybody's been in a bar drinking all night. That's complicated because people aren't themselves. They don't know exactly what they saw. And we don't really know here. I say he's innocent until proven guilty, but you still, if you're the Tennessee Titans and this guy was charged on Friday and you selected him in the fourth round of the draft, you're getting an oops. That's an oops, no matter what. You drafted a guy and a couple days later it comes out that he's been charged with assaulting a woman. Not just assaulting a woman outside a bar. And I like to finish with either fun or odd or weird things on the podcast every day, and this one takes the cake. It is a 44-year-old New Yorker. The man is nicknamed the Sperminator. Seriously, I saw the headline, and I thought it was about a whale or something. A whale or a elephant. It was by a story about circus elephants relocating. I'm like, okay. Or maybe you'd think about a horse being nicknamed the Sperminator. You know, a thoroughbred out to stud. I don't know. Ari Nagel is a 44-year-old man that lives in New York, and he is on Dr. Oz Tuesday. He is the guest on the Dr. Oz show. He is a professor by trade, but he says he has financial struggles, so he must not be real good with his money. Smart enough to be a professor, but not smart enough to balance his checkbook, apparently. Ari Nagel is a sperm donor, and apparently he just can't say no. He has blue eyes, curly hair. I looked at him and I thought, okay, I could see some things in Ari Nagel that maybe the woman would say, yeah, I want that as the father of my child, I guess. But it doesn't sound like he's any real winner. You know, I think maybe that would count for something, wouldn't it? Somebody who's really smart and successful. I don't know. Maybe he's just not together. He is a professor, so he must be smart. The Sperminator has 78 children. Currently has 13 women pregnant. Says he can't say no, and he's going on Dr. Oz to talk about it. I mean, don't you just immediately ask yourself, should that be legal? We got a lot of laws in this country about things you can and can't do. Is it right that one man is going to have, like, he's not going to stop. He's going to have a couple hundred children. Is that right? And then the question is it right for the kids? I don't know. I haven't thought about it that much. I just read the story and go, ooh, that's weird. All I know is that's a weird dude. I'd be willing to bet he's a Democrat. Anybody want to take that one? I mean, anybody? Anybody? Anybody want that? I mean, some things you read and you're just like, oh, yeah, I get it. He's a professor. He's a sperm donor. He's going to have well over 100 children. Yeah, I'm betting he's not a fan of this podcast. Just my hunch. Just my guess. I leave you with that. Thank you so much for hitting the like, follow, subscribe button. The numbers are climbing at KKHI, and I really, really appreciate that. If you'd like to become a patron, it is Tuesday, and that's the day we do the Between the Lines podcast with Danny Klinkscale. We've had some suggestions from people that we flip those around, and that when Danny's on my patron podcast, he asks me the questions instead of the other way around. And I've thought of that, but you also get a lot of me and I as the patron podcast. Whenever I'm a guest on a radio show or something, I put those on there as well for the patrons. So there's plenty of me being guest on the patron program, but I'm considering it. Or maybe every other time. Maybe we'll just switch it up. I don't know. Or maybe we should go by the weeks. Maybe like 1 week on both podcasts, I host and ask Danny questions. And then the other week, he hosts, ask me questions. Maybe we'll do it that way. But people like the BTL 2.0 podcast at KK Has Issues. Just go to the website, sign up for $5 a month or more if you like. And you get basically about 3 bonus podcasts a week. And of course, the newsletter. And we've already had a couple of patron events where we've gotten together and socialized and had some fun. We'll be doing more of that as well. Just go to kkhasissues.com to sign up. Click the little icon that says become a patron. It's very simple. It's recurring on your card. It's only $5. I think you'll enjoy it if you like the podcast, so feel free. If not, help us out by telling somebody about the podcast or hitting that like, follow, or subscribe button or getting them to. It makes a huge difference. And as always, I thank you for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.